Greetings to each one of you. Wednesday evening, as we were going around on the wagons Christmas caroling, one of our younger children looked up to my wife and asked the question, "Is this Christmas?" As they were processing, you know, we were talking about Christmas coming. As they're on the wagon processing what's going on, they came up with the question, "Is this Christmas?" I don't know how you would answer that question, and maybe I'll ask you this morning, what is Christmas? What makes Christmas? Actually, I'll look for a response. What comes to your mind when you think of Christmas, and how would you define what Christmas is? Don't all speak at once. I'm sure there's a lot of things that may come to your mind, but how would you define Christmas in a simple way?
Salvation coming to the world.
Salvation coming to the world. Mm-hmm. Anyone else? So as I was thinking, as my wife shared that with me, it somewhat, I believe it brought a smile to my face as I thought of this, the child processing this. So what is Christmas? A simple Google search, Wikipedia says, Christmas is an annual festival commemorating the birth of Jesus, commemorating the birth of Jesus Christ, observed primarily on December 25th. So that's what Wikipedia says, and I was actually impressed by the answer. They recognize people celebrating or commemorating the birth of Jesus Christ. So in a sense, Christmas caroling was part of Christmas, right? As we are commemorating the birth of Christ, remembering the birth of Jesus and why he came into this world. I guess we could say that was part of Christmas, celebrating Christmas. Although it's a day that's observed on December 25th, we are going through the Christmas season, remembering the birth of Christ, when God took upon himself human flesh, was made in the likeness of man. The title of the message this morning is Reflecting on Our Humble Savior. Reflecting on Our Humble Savior. We know that Jesus was different than any other human. He was fully God, yet fully man. He can relate to the things that we go through. In the bulletin from Waterworks I had seen, they had a quote from Holly Girth. It says this about Jesus. He came not to a throne, but to a manger. He lived not as a king, but as a servant. He chose not an earthly kingdom, but a cross. He gave not just a little, but everything. And I'd like us to think about, again, our humble Savior, how he came into this world. He was a perfect man without fault, and yet he allowed himself to go through some difficult times, a lot of pain in this life. He knew what he was going to go through before he ever left the splendor of heaven. You can turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, I would like to read verses 1 through 20. And as we read through this, again, remember think about Jesus Christ taking upon human form and his very humble entry into this world. We look at this, or look at the Christmas account, I believe, every year, and yet there's something to marvel something that we should marvel about every year, the birth of Jesus Christ. And as Dale already mentioned, as the songs that we sang, we don't only remember the birth of Jesus at Christmas time, we also realize his birth. There was much more to his life than just the birth of Jesus. And we'll do something a little different for this time, for the reading of the scripture. If you could all stand, and what I'll do, every other verse I'll have you read. So I'll read verse 1, Luke 2, verse 1, and I would like you to read verse 2. I'll read verse 3, you read verse 4, and we'll go like that up into verse 20. Let's read it this time. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Thank you. You may be seated. So as we go throughout this Christmas season and we read this passage, I hope we can again appreciate the humble entry of our King, of our Savior. And I'd like to look at this account for, well, I want to look at 3 points. The first one, I have noted, a humble birth. Number two, a humble life. And number three, I have in a question form, my response. What is my response, or what is your response to the birth of Jesus and the life that he lived, we know he came with a great purpose. He came to take upon himself the sins of the world, the sins of you and I, so that we can be free from sin, free from guilt, and experience everlasting life through him and the everlasting life that comes through him alone. So my goal with the message, I want us to reflect on the humility of Jesus as we celebrate the birth of our King. And the first point, a humble birth. We know, and we see a lot of nativity scenes this time of the year where there's Mary and Joseph in a stable, little Jesus is placed in a manger, and this manger may look very cozy with straw, with him wrapped in blankets, and it might look like a beautiful scene, but I'm sure it was a very much of a less than desirable place for their baby to be born. To be born in an area where animals were kept, to be placed in a manger. And I've read that, well, a lot of pictures, we see a wooden manger, and I don't know exactly what the manger looked like that Jesus was placed in, but I've read that it was likely a manger was an animal trough where they ate out of, and oftentimes they were like a manger was hewn out of rock, so it was likely a rock or a very hard place. I mean, we know he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. They may have placed hay and straw in the manger, but not a very desirable place for a baby to be born. And of all places for God's son to be born, you know, God could have he could have sent his son in a very different way. He came with a very humble entrance or a humble birth. And I know over the years, Christmas has gotten, there's just so much going on at Christmas. I don't know if you ever feel like it's too busy, too much going on. This week I felt that way at times, too many things going on. But there's something marvelous about the birth of Jesus. And the world, even though it's neat that there's still nativity scenes even placed throughout town, there's such a mixture of celebration at Christmas with people with Santa and all the other things that go along with it. But may we reflect on the humility of Jesus as we celebrate his birth this Christmas season. I mentioned Jesus could have come a different way. You know, Joseph and Mary were poor people, but that's the way God chose it. He chose poor people to be the parents, the earthly parents of Jesus. He could have chosen a rich family to be born in. He could have chose to be born in a palace instead of a stable, but it is how God chose it. There are some things, as Dale mentioned, we will not fully understand, but Jesus had a very humble birth. And I'm not going to take the time in these verses to unpack everything. I'm just going to glean a little bit of, or look a little bit at the humble entrance of Jesus. And it's recorded several times throughout Scripture or throughout the Gospels where Mary, as Mary is observing these things, she ponders them all in her heart. In verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. So she was given some promises. The angel promised, you know, what was going to happen. She was going to be a bare child, conceived of the Holy Ghost, to bear God's Son, and she ponders them in her heart. There's another passage a little bit later that talks about Mary pondering them in her heart. So it was after, if we would continue reading, it's in verse 51. So this is after Jesus is now, was it 12 years old, and Joseph and Mary were traveling. They realized Jesus was no longer with them. They went back searching for Jesus, and they found him in the temple. And Jesus makes a comment that made his mother ponder in her heart. He says, how is it that you sought me? Wist I not that I must be about my father's business? Or in other words, did you not know I must be about my father's business? And then verse 51, the end there says, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Thinking about the humble entrance of Jesus, how he came in a very humble way. And he came with a big plan. And Mary ponders them in her heart. There is a song, The Wander of Wanders. I don't know if anyone's brave enough to sing a solo this morning, sing that song. It's a beautiful song. I have the lyrics written down here, The Wander of Wanders, and thinking again about Mary processing all this. The Wander of Wanders, as she looked on his face, that this little boy spoke the worlds in their place, recognizing that Jesus was not just a normal baby. He was a creator of the universe. This little boy spoke the worlds in their place, the stars and the moon shining brightly on them. The earth and the sun were created by him. The Wander of Wanders, as she heard his small cry, that his voice had thundered on Mount Sinai. The hand that she held so tenderly had made a dry path through the mighty Red Sea. Verse 3, The Wander of Wanders, as she looked down and smiled, that he was her maker as well as her child. He created the womb that had given him birth. He was God incarnate, come down to the earth. And then the chorus, The Wander of Wonders. Oh, how could it be that God became flesh and was given for me. The Almighty came down and walked among men. The wonder of wonders, he died for my sin. Just captures a little bit of Jesus as a baby and yet God made flesh. The wonder of wonders. So he had a very humble birth. Now I'd like to move to the second point, a humble life. And I'd like to read a few verses from Philippians chapter 2. I know it's a very familiar passage and yet just a beautiful, some beautiful verses in there of Jesus becoming flesh, taking upon him the form of a servant. I'd like to read verses 5 through 11. We are called in here to put the mind of Christ, or we are called to bear the mind of Christ. Verse 5 starts like this: Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So thinking about the humble life that Jesus lived. He took upon himself the form of a servant. He made no reputation, or in other words, he emptied himself. This was God leaving the splendors of heaven and coming down to live among us, to live in a fallen, sinful world, to be tempted, to be tried. And he knew he would even give his very life for, or so that we can have eternal life. And then God, as a result of the obedience of Jesus Christ, has highly exalted him and given him a name above all names. And as we read of the life of Jesus in the Gospels, the work that Jesus did, he ministered to many people, he met many people's needs. Jesus even made a comment at one point that he said something along the lines, "Foxes have holes to live in, birds have nests to rest in, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Jesus at times gave and gave and gave. And I believe he ministered to people many times in spite of being physically tired or physically exhausted. I mentioned a book before, the Disciplines of a Godly Man. And in our small group, we are going through this book. We met Friday morning, and the chapter that we discussed briefly was about, ministering to others, and it was a very challenging chapter as he talked about, or he looked at the life of Jesus and how Jesus ministered to others, and how we are called in Philippians 2 here to take on the mind of Christ, to be willing servants, and that the author talked about two distinct courses that are all available. He says, for men, or in other words, it could be for people who claim the name of Christ, two distinct courses of life are available. And he said, one is to cultivate a small heart, and the other is to cultivate a ministering heart. And I'd like to look a little bit at these two types of hearts this morning, thinking about the humble life that Jesus lived, the life of a servant. The small heart is a safe way to live because it minimizes the sorrows of life. So if we dodge all the troubles that are around us, or if we avoid getting into or helping other people, getting into some messy situations in life, we can be spared or escape a host of afflictions that sometimes come with it. And it was challenging. I was convicted as I read through this. Sometimes it's easy or easier to live with a small heart, be closed to what's really happening in the world, and to live in our own little bubble. But Jesus didn't live that way. He helped others. Jesus lived with a ministering heart. The ministering heart is one that cares about the needs around them. And a ministering heart is also a vulnerable heart because they open themselves up. And sometimes people in return disrespect them or talk badly about them. And Jesus was many times accused of things that were not true. Jesus was vulnerable, but he continued to minister to others. The effects of these two types of hearts are drastically different. And I'm going to quote from Kent Hughes from the Disciplines of a Godly Man. He says this, and I quote, "Little hearts, although safe and protected, never contribute to anything. No one benefits from their restricted sympathies and vision. On the other hand, the hearts that have embraced the disciplines of ministry, though they are vulnerable, possess the most joy and leave their heart print in the world." And I believe Kent talked about being a coach. I'm not sure if was it soccer? Was it football? I don't remember now which it was. But talked about being a coach. And being a coach, there was a lot of discipline that he had to go through to be a good coach. But there are also great rewards that came with it. And I believe it's much like that to the life of a servant or being a servant of Christ. There are sometimes great difficulty that comes with it. We can get into some difficult situations as we try to reach the needs that come around us. And Dale, I like your challenge that you left in your devotional about finding someone this Christmas season to give them hope, to give them joy, or to reach out to. There's many needs around us. We live in we live in a broken world. Jesus had a vulnerable heart. He had a ministering heart. And we too are called to put on the mind of Christ, to take upon or to be a servant of Christ, to have a heart that ministers to the needs around us. One thing that I appreciate about my in-laws, the last number of years when we get together for Christmas, everyone helps out with it. They put some kits together. It's through Christian Aid. Kits for the meeting needs around the world. I don't know where all they get sent out, but it's one little way of not just giving within, giving to each other, but also giving to those who can't give back. And that's very much what Jesus did. He gave to those who could not give in return. So thinking about these two types of heart, a small heart or a ministering heart, I ask you the question this morning, what does your heart look like? Do you have a ministering heart? Or is it a small heart that's closed to the needs around and that lives a life of ease? And I trust that each one of us have that desire to have a ministering heart, to have a heart after Christ, to care for the needs around you. We could look at many examples how Jesus ministered to the needs around him. I thought of a few as I was studying for this, and I'm not going to take the time to turn there, but Jesus met both physical needs and he met spiritual needs. Jesus healed the sick. He opened the eyes of the blind. He did many miraculous things that maybe we can't do to the extent that Jesus did, but we can still minister to physical needs that people may have. We can also minister to people in spiritual ways as well, give them hope. We can't give that hope ourselves, but we can share that hope with them that they can find through Jesus Christ. Jesus washed his disciples' feet, just thinking of the servant that he was. Even though he was God, again, thinking about Jesus coming with a very humble entry and taking upon him the form of a servant. I'd like to also read a few more verses from Philippians, thinking about my response. So we looked at Jesus' humble birth. We looked at the way he ministered, his humble life. And now thirdly, my response. What is my response this Christmas season as we think about these two things, the birth of Jesus and the life that he lived. What is my response to it? Verses 12 through 18 in Philippians 2, I'll read them at this time. It says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings." Verse 15, "that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me." So Paul's desire was that we shine as lights in a dark world. We know that Jesus is the true light, and we are called as servants of Christ, as Christ followers, to reflect the light of Christ. And as this world continues to get darker and darker, the light of Christ should shine brighter and brighter. We know there is darkness all around us. And I want you to think about the response, or what is your response to the birth of Jesus? What is your response to the humble life that Jesus lived? Are you allowing God's light to shine through you? And may God bless you this Christmas season as you look at the needs that are around you and look at ways that you can shine God's light in the midst of a perverse nation. Paul said this, you know, about 2,000 years ago. And is the world darker today than it was 2,000 years ago? I would say in some ways it is. The world tells us, the Bible tells us, the world's not going to get any better as the return of Christ draws nearer. May we shine God's light and be a light to those around us. And not just think about Jesus as this cute little baby in a manger, but recognize the life that Jesus lived, the humble life that he lived, how he came and he served and met the needs around him. Will you, this Christmas season, look around to the needs where you can help others and to reflect the light of Christ? So God bless you, and may you have a Merry Christmas as you celebrate and reflect on the birth of Christ and the life that he lived. And may you have, or instead of having a small heart, may we strive to have a ministering heart, a heart that cares about the needs around us as we reflect the true light. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this Christmas season. We thank you so much that we have a reason to celebrate this morning. We realize you did not live a normal life, that your life was unlike any other life on this earth, how you were fully God, yet man. You realize you were tempted, and you realize when we go through temptations, you realize what we're going through, and you can relate to us. And your word tells us that we can find a way of escape, whatever we are facing in life. And I pray that we would look to you for that. I pray that each one of us would have a ministering heart as we go through this Christmas season, that we could bless someone or some people around us, and that they could see the true light and come to a saving faith in you. I pray that you will bless us as we celebrate and reflect on the gift of salvation this Christmas season. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.